Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and I'll be here for the next 2 hours telling you what's going on in the community. Unfortunately, the group that was due to come in the second hour has had to pull out, so we'll play some music between one and two. But anyway, we've got with us today Jennifer Seabrook. Now, we've had spoken to Jennifer before. She was, I think, the president of the local branch of the Red Cross, but today she's now the chairman and treasurer. She's also the chair of Zone 1, which is Melbourne, and a member of the Victorian Division Advisory Board. So she should know quite a bit about Red Cross. But she's also going to talk to us about getting ready for emergencies because the fire season is coming up and all sorts of things. So first of all, welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Now, Jennifer, I believe since we last spoke that there's been a change in name for a start off.
There has. The Hoddles Creek branch. We're 52 years young.
52?
52 years young.
Younger than me.
But at our last, only just, our last AGM, our last AGM, which was on the 1st of August, we decided to change the name to Yarra Valley.
To reflect the area or
to what? To reflect the membership of the branch, because we've got people who were from Yarra Glen or Healesville or Wandon, Mount Evelyn. People across the valley are in our branch, and so we wanted to reflect that's where it's from, and we are the only branch in the Yarra Valley.
And probably going to be the only one.
I reckon so.
Jennifer, so obviously that doesn't alter anything other than just the name.
No. Our 52-year history, our fundraising of $300,000 over those 52 years, it still gets associated with this branch, but it's, just the name.
Just covers the Yarra Valley. That's terrific. And as you say, there's probably not another one going to start up in the next little while anyway,
is there? I'd be very surprised.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, let's talk a bit about what Red Cross do. I mean, we all know Red Cross. We see them out and about. We see signs up about Red Cross. But, I mean, it is a huge organisation, isn't it?
It is. It is a huge organisation, about 10,000 members across Australia.
All volunteers?
On top of the members, about another 15,000 volunteers who participate only in the emergency services programs, don't get involved in the fundraising side.
All right, yep. So you've got about 25,000, really?
I believe so. No one's here to contradict me, so we'll say yes.
If you're 10 and 15, I'm pretty sure I've got
those numbers right across Australia.
Yep.
And it's pretty much based on proportion. So we have about 2,000 members and about 2,500 volunteers in Victoria.
Yep.
And they do all sorts of things. During COVID, there was a massive effort from the emergency services team. We provided over 49,000 food packages to needy people.
Yep.
We also ran a program called CASI, a community assistance program for people who didn't have internet, didn't have mobile phones, didn't have people calling on them. And there were over 24,000 calls made there were calls to 24,000 individuals just to make sure they were okay.
So the Red Cross or somebody at Red Cross, some of your volunteers, took on the ring X amount of people each week, just to make sure that they were coping well.
Yep. And if they needed anything, to put them in touch with a service that would be able to deliver whatever it was that they needed.
Well, that's terrific. What was there one particular need that you found during COVID, or was there a whole spread of needs from people?
It was a real variety depending on the age group and the circumstances people were in. We also managed, on behalf of the Victorian government, a hardship grant program, and there was about $50 million the Victorian government provided to Red Cross to give to, for example, uni students who couldn't go to uni, and the international uni
yep.
students who didn't have jobs because all the hospitality jobs
were gone.
And didn't have any other means of support, so they and asylum seekers and refugees were eligible for hardship grants.
And so Red Cross?
And so Red Cross managed that program on behalf of the Victorian government.
Oh, terrific.
So there was a lot of people who just needed financial support. Yep. The food support, I think, was probably the most obvious, that people just couldn't make ends meet, couldn't get enough food to go on the table.
I think one of the problems too was that what you said is true, that a lot of these students, well, not only students, but people who worked in hospitality just lost their jobs overnight, didn't
they? Yeah, they did. They did.
And people who, under a normal set of circumstances, would never be looking for a handout, all of a sudden found no income.
No, that's very true. Yeah. We were actually quite well off in the Yarra Ranges, though, because I looked up the numbers the other day, and only 19 families in the Yarra Ranges council area requested food relief. So that's pretty good. I mean, of course, they may have from other organisations, but through Red Cross, it was only 19 families.
All right, we've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more with Jennifer on Community Connections.
FM 99.1.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I have with me Jennifer from the now called the Yarra Valley Red Cross. Now, emergencies. You want to talk to us a bit about getting prepared for emergencies. I guess the first thing, what is an emergency and how do we prepare for it?
Emergencies can be anything, Alan, and as September is Emergency Preparedness Month, it's a really good time for people to think about what might be an emergency for them. It might be the things we automatically think about, like a fire, a major fire, or just one one house burning down.
Or a flood.
Or a flood.
Or trees down.
Trees falling on the house and taking the roof out. Or it might be that you happen, your pet is your most important companion and something happens to your pet that he needs to get to the vet and you don't have a car. What are you going to do in that emergency? You might run out of your medication for some strange reason. You forgot to get your prescriptions and you go to take your life-saving medication and it's not there. What are you going to do? So it's important for everybody to think about what's every sort of emergency for them and how they might address it.
Yeah, right. So it's not just, I thought it would probably just be fire and trees down there, but it's not. It could be anything.
It could be anything. It could be your partner getting ill. And they need to get to hospital. Can you take them? Do you call the ambulance? What if the ambulance is, you know, not
2 hours
nearby?
Which can happen.
Yeah.
So how do we prepare for the emergencies? What needs to be our thinking?
Well, there's four parts of the process that Red Cross have developed in what they call a ready plan. The first thing is to get in the know, to know about your risks, where to get information and how to manage stress, because you need to stay calm as much as possible.
Absolutely.
You're going to be hyper, but you've got to be able to manage all of that. You also need to get connected. So you need to have the information about your important documents, your important phone numbers, meeting places, where do you go if there's a fire?
One of the things that I remember, this is years ago, someone telling me that they had to get out of the house because there was a fire, and so they didn't have everything in the one place, and then they didn't have their insurance documents, and that cost them time.
Well, Alan, we haven't set this up before, but that's a perfect segue for downloading onto your phone the Red Cross Get Prepared app. It's a really simple app that's available both on Apple and Google.
And that's going to tell us
what
to do.
And it takes you through all of the steps. It starts off with the basics. You put your information in, like your important contacts, your children, your neighbours, your doctor, your insurance. Enter all of that information into the app. And then it takes you through all of the steps. It'll be identify your nearest place of last resort, for example. Put that, and you get to put that on a little map. All of those things will then be in one place, and you'll be able to provide that information to whoever needs to know.
Because you can cost yourself a lot of time, can't you? At a time when you really don't want to be costing yourself time.
That's true. And a lot of the time you don't actually need those things. You don't actually need your insurance paperwork. You just need to know who you're insured with.
Yep.
And if you know your policy number as well, then that's a bonus.
Yep.
But, you know, we don't all remember those sorts of things from one year to the next.
Yep. So what else do we need to know, Jennifer?
We need to get organised with those important informations and medical information. We need to know what it is that we might need to tell people. And we need to work out what it is that we want to take with us. What's important?
Yep. Because some of this stuff, particularly if it's a fire, and I guess, pardon me, I guess the other thing is not only what you want to take, but it's no good if something's here and something's there and something else, because you haven't got that amount of time either, have you?
No, you haven't. And it might be that maybe all year round, because you never know when an emergency is going to happen, but particularly during fire season out here, it might be that you put all your important documents and a few key things that you really want to take with you in a drawer or on a shelf by the front door or a special place in the kitchen.
So you just grab everything at once.
So you can grab everything. Yep. Put it in a box or a bag. You just have to pick that up. For my husband and me, it's the backup for our computers. Because we've scanned every single photo we have.
Have you?
And that's important to me. And music is important to my husband. And he's put all of his CDs onto the computer. So with our backup disc, we're right.
Well, of course, the other thing is too that while you know, we talk about photos, I mean, if you've got photos that were taken 20, 30 years ago, none of this stuff can be replicated, can they?
No,
And particularly if you've got children and grandchildren and you know, when they're born and all this, you can't replicate any of that. If it's gone, it's gone.
No, you can't. And if you on these cold, wintry days, it's a perfect hobby to get into scanning your photos.
Scan it all.
Yeah.
Sounds terrific. All right, we'll take one more quick break and we'll be back with more. That was Bob Seger at Old Time Rock and Roll. And just a quick reminder, I'll be here on Sunday with plenty of rock and roll between 12 and 3. I'll have music, memories and more. And I'm still doing a fill-in for Matt Shaw on Sunday nights. I'll be here between 6 and 8. So we've got 5 hours of great rock and roll for the 50s and 60s. So I'd love to have you along. Anyway, we're talking to Jennifer from the Yarra Valley Red Cross. No, we're not talking about rock and roll. Jennifer, you're talking about these apps and that and download it on the mobile phone, and that's good, and a lot of us can do that. But what about the people who just aren't connected to the... They don't have a mobile phone, they're not on iPads. What sort of... How can they find out what they should be doing?
That's a good question. And there's two answers to that. One of them still does require the internet. Yep. If you go to the Red Cross website, www.redcross.org.au, you can find the Ready Plan there, REDIPLAN, and download it if you have a printer. But, of course, not everybody has printers at home either.
Not everybody's got The mobile phone, yep.
No, and so that's eight pages that you can then just gradually fill in as you collate the information.
Yep.
But if you don't have access to the internet or a printer, you can telephone Red Cross on 1800 733 276 and somebody will post you out a booklet.
What was that number again, please?
1800 733
276. That's terrific. All right, so it doesn't matter whether you're connected, you can go do it yourself or you can get it done on the hard copy. So, and I guess the major thing is that you really do want to encourage people to start thinking about this because, you know, let's be honest, if it's a fire or a house fall or a tree falls on your house, you don't get a lot of time. Your whole idea is to get out and get yourself safe, isn't it?
It's very true. And, of course, it's important once you've done the plan to not just put it in a drawer and forget about it.
Update it.
That's right. Keep it updated. Share it with your family or your neighbour or whoever is your key contact, yep, so that they also have the information and it means there's another copy of it off-site if, unfortunately, your house were to burn down, for example. Yep. And keep it near the front door or with your list of important things so that, you're not, you know, scratching through everywhere to try to find it.
That's one of the things about a fire, is that you've got to understand that there's going to probably be nothing left. It's not like a flood where you might be able to dry the bits of paper out and do some good, but even that takes weeks and weeks. But in the case of a fire, it's just gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, again, they'd go to the website to download the app on either their mobile phone or their iPad or the computer, but for those that can't, you've got that phone number again, please, Jennifer?
Move that piece of paper. It is 1-800-733-276.
And they'll send you out a hard copy.
Yes.
Sounds terrific. All right, we'll take one more quick break and we'll be back with more.
Turn back time.
Jennifer, maybe this is a bit of an unfair question to ask, but I'm going to ask it just the same. Out of the emergencies over the last few years, and we're talking about people being prepared for these emergencies, what would be one or two of the greatest lessons that have been learnt that people have just not thought through a particular thing? Is there any particular thing that stands out? Can't hear you.
I think that preparedness is key. Preparedness leads to resilience.
Yeah, but is there anything people preparing that they just forget? Like I mentioned insurance policy. Is there any one thing that has popped up and people have said, "I wish I'd done that"?
No, I think the answer to that question is as varied as the number of people who have been in emergencies.
Right. No worries. All right, so let's talk about, because Red Cross doesn't exist if you haven't got any helpers. What sort of things could people do if they decided after today they'd like to get involved with Red Cross?
There's many, many different ways that people can help Red Cross, and we really try to find the way that suits any individual.
Yeah.
From my perspective as chairman of the Yarra Valley branch, I'd welcome any new members, and we concentrate on fundraising.
Yep.
We have stalls, so we cook biscuits and cakes and
things. So you want people, I'm not going to say women, you want people who could cook cakes and that and come and man the stalls? If people are listening, what sort of talent that you're looking for?
So providing the goods for the stall, helping to set up the stall, tow the trailer with the marquee and the tables in it, and more importantly, back it back into the shed at the end.
Not always easy.
Definitely not always easy. So any of our fundraising events, we've got a coffee machine that we use at lots of events, and so we're always looking out for baristas. So that's from a local perspective, but also joining the emergency services team, which is a completely different team and involves specific training in what to do in an emergency.
So what would those people do in an emergency?
So we do two main things. The first is the registration system, where if somebody is evacuated from their house, on behalf of the Victoria Police, the Red Cross manage the registration system. So we take all of their details and make sure there is a record of that person, where they're going, and any key bits of information that are necessary for the police or other agencies to assist that person in the future. We also do what we call psychological first aid in an emergency, and that's needs somebody that's not as much of a crybaby as me, but it needs somebody who is empathetic and able to support the person and to help them through finding the services that they need.
And listen to their story.
Yep.
Now, also, you must need other people, like that we talked about that in an emergency. One of the things too that I've always noticed, and I presume they still do it, when there's been a bushfire and there's been various things, because I have been involved a couple of times helping in a bushfire, the Red Cross seem to always turn up very quickly with a caravan, start making sandwiches.
Yes, we did used to do
that.
That's
anymore.
Changed. And in fact, in the 2009 bushfires, I was the catering coordinator for Red Cross, and we did do 24,000 meals over 10 locations during that bushfire month. But that's now taken on more of a community focus. And I think, you know, the East Gippsland floods, for example, you know, we saw so many community organisations providing food. I think that's a really good way to support the community and involve the community.
Yep. All right. So also community visitors.
Community visitors. We do have a statewide community visitor program where people can keep people company in their own home, in a nursing home, in a hospital, provide a little bit of contact for people who don't have other community connections.
Because one of the big things too is loneliness, you know, with some of the elderly. They can't get out. But I guess, like these community businesses aren't just in times of crisis, are they? Like, no, that goes on all year round.
That goes on all year round. Yep. And there's also a telephone version of that, Telecross and Teleyarn. Telecross is a quick daily telephone call to somebody just to make sure that everything's okay, whereas Teleyarn is a maybe once a week, once a fortnight, an hour or so telephone call with somebody who likes to have a bit of a longer natter.
Oh, that's good. Look, I've just got to take a couple of announcements here, and we'll be back with more with Jennifer, and we'll hear a bit more about, we're going to talk about a pillowcase. I'll be very keen to hear about it.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Different files. We've all got our own thing on the computer, and that song came out of Frankie Van's file. Frankie, I pinched it from you. But what it does remind me of, that I had Frankie in last week for Choice Tunes. Last Wednesday between 2 and 3, we heard all about Frankie's life and also the music that's played a big part of his life. Not the music he plays on a Friday morning or a Friday night, So that'll go up, and there are plenty of podcasts. I think it's about 24 podcasts of different people who have come in and done their choice tunes. So I urge you to go onto our website, www.yarravalleyfm.org.au. It'll come up on the left-hand side podcast. Click on that. Go on the next screen, hit, you'll see choice tunes. Click on that and drop them down. Have a listen to Frankie or all the others. We've had the mayor, we've had Cindy McLeish, we've had all sorts of people. Anyway, we're here now. Pardon me. We're here now talking to Jenna from the Yarra Valley Red Cross. This pillowcase, tell us a bit about that, please, Jennifer.
The pillowcase program is another part of the preparedness program that Red Cross provides. It's designed for grade 3 and 4 kids. It's also designed to fit into the curriculum, so that it's usually run in about March or April of each year, and a trained Red Cross volunteer will go along to the school and explain to the school children what an emergency is and have that discussion with them, because out here a lot of kids would be able to tell them exactly what an emergency is. But then each of the children are given a pillowcase. And they're asked to think about what are the things that are most important to them and that they would take in an emergency.
And that might just be their favourite toy, mightn't it?
Might be their favourite toy. Might be a puffy jacket if it's in the middle of winter. Might not be a huge number of books, because that would be too heavy to carry. And so that the instructor will go through good things, bad things, in between things that they might like to think to take with them in an emergency. And then as part of the class, they draw something on the outside of the pillowcase, something that's important to them, and they then keep that pillowcase and they know where it is. They're prepared in an emergency. They know what they're going to put in their pillowcase. They know that that pillowcase is just for that. And it's a way of helping kids.
Now, lifeblood. You're always looking for volunteers for lifeblood. Apart from the fact you're looking for donors, there is an opportunity for other volunteers, is there?
Definitely looking for donors all the time. And, yes, volunteers to help with the refreshments. We come to Lilydale at the Baptist Church there 4 times a year. They're there this week. They were there last week and they're there this week. And the volunteers just help with tea and coffee for the donors. And
you get the cup of tea and a biscuit?
You get a cup of tea and you get actually pretty good snacks. I was there myself donating blood last week and there's pretty good snacks at the
moment. Not just the old-time biscuits?
Not just the old-time biscuits, no.
Oh, that's terrific. But again, I mean, let's just run through this. I mean, there's heaps of ways that people can get involved with Red Cross, isn't it? It's not only just coming along to meetings, and if that's not their bag, I mean, they can help you fundraise, your community visitors. These telly yarns and that, are they done by volunteers as well?
They are all done by volunteers, yes.
Yep.
And you don't have to go anywhere. You use your own phone. You don't. Yep. So you don't have to go into head office in North Melbourne, for example.
And you can talk, if you're on the loneliness one, the first one, it doesn't have to be long calls.
No, that's just a quick call just to make sure that the person is okay and doesn't need anything particular on that day.
Yep. If one of those people ring out and they ring Fred, Charlie, and they're not happy with the responses they get, do they then pass that on to somebody else and say, look, I think somebody should do something about this?
Yes, they'll pass that on to a Red Cross supervisor who will make the appropriate connections with either a community service worker or the police or whoever is appropriate given.
So you do work with people like the police as well,
absolutely,
too, do you?
Absolutely. Work with many different services and organisations. It's a very collaborative area.
Yeah. And as I said before, I think one of the biggest problems, and it seems to have cropped up a number of times since I started doing these shows, is the loneliness of some people. Some people, particularly and I'm going to use men because a lot of men have worked up until they're 65, 68. All of a sudden they stop and they've got this life planned. They're going to do a bit of travelling and they buy a caravan. Wifey dies, their long-time partner dies, and all of a sudden, bang, they just lose all will and they sit at home. it's never going to be any good for their health, is it?
No, it isn't. And I'd actually encourage those people to get involved in a community organisation. It might be Red Cross, but it might be U3A, or it might be the Men's Shed, or it might be Probus. Yeah. Connections are an amazing way to keep your health, to keep your sanity, to give you an interest, to fill your time.
And one of the things too, they may be very well as a teller yarn or to make they the call out themselves, because while they're helping someone else, they could be very well helping themselves.
They understand exactly what their person is going through, and so they're able to connect at that level. And as you say, a win-win situation for the two of them.
And that's one of the problems, that if people don't keep moving, then there's things like dementia and all sorts of things sitting down the track. And, you know, I've heard of a case where somebody couldn't even be bothered getting off the couch and they'd sit there all day. Well, it's never going to end well health-wise, is it?
I don't imagine so.
No, it's never going to help-wise. So I guess for the people that are listening, and I suppose Red Cross are always looking for donations too. You're not going to say no to any money that comes through the door.
No, 1 in 3 people need a blood donation in their lifetime, but only 1 in 30 people donate blood.
True.
Absolutely true.
So the ones that do plenty, and the others do nothing.
That's right. That's
right. I'm one of those too. So,
If you're under 75 and have never donated, you can go down to Lilydale, make a phone call or turn up down at Lilydale. They're accepting walk-ins and donate. If you're over 75, you can only donate blood if you have already been donating.
Are they taking blood from people who haven't been vaxxed, or is there any rules about it?
I'm going to have to take that one under advisement, because the rules keep changing. I imagine that we all have to have 2 vaccinations.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have thrown that in.
You do have to tell them whether you've had the vaccinations or not, but I'm sorry, I don't actually know the answer to that.
Well, that's not a problem. All right, so people need to get hold of this app, and how are they going to get that app again? Let's just run through that.
Well, they can go onto their Google Play Store or their App Store on Apple devices and download the Red Cross Get Prepared app. Or they can go onto the website, which is www.redcross.org.au, and search for Ready Plan, REDI Plan, or telephone Red Cross on 1800 733 276, and somebody will post out a booklet.
So in September, they're going to hear more about this, aren't they?
Because hopefully.
September is
Preparedness Month.
Preparedness Month. And don't limit yourself to just thinking about fire, floods and a tree falling on the house. I mean, there's a lot of other sorts of... Actually, there are a few that you've mentioned that I would have never thought of as emergencies, to be honest.
Like your dog being sick and not having a car, and how you're going to get him to the
vet. Or a partner who gets sick and you haven't got a car. Because we all just assume everybody's car, everyone can drive. But that's not necessarily the case.
No, it's not. 1 in 20 people think it's important to be prepared for an emergency.
It's not a high number, is it?
It's not a high number. Small number. But even less actually do something about being prepared.
True. So it's 1 in 20 think you should do it.
Not even that many do something about being prepared.
Sure.
It's not that hard. Yeah. Think about what's important to you and how are you going to access it? What are you going to do with it in an emergency?
Yeah, I've seen people interviewed and I've spoken to a couple of people that just the insurance for a thing, and somebody else, I think they forgot to take the car registration and they found out that it was due. And so all of a sudden they, you know, it must be terrible, but at the same token, the best time to plan for an emergency is when there's no pressure, isn't it?
That's right. Take your time, do it little bit by little bit. Yep. Ask your son or your daughter or your neighbour or somebody else to help if you don't know the answers to the questions. And just...
And again... Look, let's talk about, just very briefly, because I'm just about coming up to the news, again, the helpers. I mean, there are just so many avenues of help. They don't have to come along to your meetings, do they?
Absolutely not. No, before I was chairman, I didn't go to meetings.
There you've got to go.
That's right.
I mean, I guess, how do they find out what sort of, would they go to your website? Have you got a list of sorts of jobs that a volunteer could do there? Or
certainly the Red Cross website has all the official volunteer jobs that are available.
Which is
there.
The three W's, Red Cross, all one word, .org.au.
Correct. And you've just reminded me that I need to update our Facebook page and change its name from Hoddles Creek Red Cross to Yarra Valley Red Cross.
Sounds good. Jennifer, unfortunately, it's time for me to go. Thank you for coming in. We'll talk to you again, hopefully, early in the new year. We hope there aren't any emergencies this year. But again, as I've said, and I think Jennifer said exactly the same thing, prepare for it now, not when you've had when the emergency is sitting right at your front door.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. And we'll talk to you later on.
Thanks for the opportunity.
No worries. Thank you.